Thank you for joining the broadcast of Oak Leaf Baptist Church in Orange Park, Florida. Oak Leaf Baptist is all about leading people to God. We do this by learning God's Word, loving God and others, and living out our faith. For more information, visit us online at oakleafbaptist.org. We invite you today to take your copy of God's Word and follow along as Pastor Ball teaches us.
Well, hello, church, and it's good to be with you today, and I pray this time in God's Word will be a blessing to you. And as we study together, this is our midweek Bible study in the book of Psalms. So if you want to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Psalm 119:105, we're really just going to deal with one verse today for a few minutes. It's probably one of the greatest verses in the book of, well, not just in the book of Psalms, but in that chapter in 119. It's 119:105. And in this verse, David uses the analogy of light to talk about the value of the Word of God. And we know light. Now, the nature of light is that it dispels darkness. When we walk around, if you go home or it's in the middle of the night and you go into a room, you turn on the light because you want to be able to see where you're walking. I know if somebody moves furniture in the house and you come in the dark, it's a good opportunity to stub your toe or trip over something. So light by nature illuminates and shows us things that are in the room. In a spiritual sense, David's saying that the Word of God is like light. It illuminates. And he says that in verse 105. So look at it in your copy of God's Word. David said, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And David is saying that the Word of God is like a lantern that we would hold out in front of us to show the way, or maybe even in a time before lanterns when a torch was used. He said that it's a light that lights the way and dispels the darkness. It's a light that helps me walk in a spiritual, ethical, moral sense. Now, from a spiritual application, let's think about God's Word for just a moment. What does God's Word reveal to us? If David's saying it's a light, and it's like a light, that means it reveals things to us. It helps us be able to see things, listen, that we could not otherwise see. And I believe there are several that we might think of. And first is this. Number one, God's Word is a light because it reveals to us the knowledge of God that we could not otherwise learn on our own. Meaning, without God's help, we couldn't understand who God is. Without His illuminating Word to reveal to us who God is, we would have no hope of understanding God. You see, in our lostness and the depravity of our sin, in our lost estate, we're blind to truth, blinded by our sin, Paul said. And so to understand God and all of His holiness and all of His righteousness and who He is would be difficult without God revealing Himself to us. In our natural senses, in our natural ability, we can't understand God. We could never discover Him. We could never figure out who He is. Now, God has revealed Himself to us through His Word in a number of ways. And let me just give you a couple of them very quickly. Number one, through creation. In Romans 1:19-20, Paul said that creation itself declares the glory of God and that all men are without excuse. Meaning no one can ever stand in front of God and say, "God, I didn't know You existed," because no, in God's Word, He declares that He's the Creator, declares that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, very first verse in the Bible. And then we can look at creation. After God tells us, we can look outside and go, "Well, you know what? What I see is corroborated by what God said." And so God's Word reveals God through creation. Secondly, God is revealed to us not only through His Word and through creation, but through direct revelation. In the Old Testament, God spoke to people. God used visions and dreams, and he used natural events. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. So God spoke to us, if you will, and those prophets and those men of old recorded it in the Bible. So we have God's revelation of Himself through direct revelation, through speaking and visions and all those things, and they recorded it for us, and we can read about it. So God revealed Himself through creation. He revealed Himself as corroborated in His Word through direct revelation. And then finally, the greatest revelation of God to man is in the person of Jesus Christ. God so wanted us to know who he is that he gave us his son. Jesus left heaven, the second person of the Trinity, took on a human body, born of the Virgin Mary, lived on this earth for 33 years, spoke, walked among the people. It's recorded, his life is recorded in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. History records that Jesus was here. So the fact is, God so wanted us to know who he is that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who is the full manifestation of God. If we know Jesus, we know God, because the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all God. And to know Jesus is to know God. Jesus said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we learn that the Word of God is illuminating. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews said it this way. It's a passage that I enjoy very much. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, or actually chapter 1, he said this: God, who at sundry times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, listen to this, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The writer to Hebrews said that Jesus is the full manifestation that God used to speak, as we said, in time past to the prophets and to the fathers, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. So we know that the full manifestation of God to us we find in his word, because the word of God is the living word. Is the word that reveals Jesus, who is the embodiment of the word. So it's all connected. And what I'm saying is simply this. When David said that God's word is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path, it has so much more application than just thinking of, you know, yes, it directs us, but it is the revelation to help us understand. It helps us understand who God is, and it reveals to us who God is, and it reveals to us, listen, not only who God is, but what he's done for us, and that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross and to pay for our sin and to be put in a grave for 3 days and to resurrect on the third day. The word of God reveals that to us. Now, closely connected to the revelation from God's word of knowing who God is God's word helps us know who we are. If it weren't for God's word, if it weren't for scripture, if it weren't for the Bible, if it wasn't for God's revelation of his son, Jesus Christ, revealed in the Bible, we wouldn't really understand who we are. Now, through God's word, we understand that we're sinners. We understand that we're lost and we're separated from God. If it wasn't for God's word, we would have a hard time understanding, because it would be nothing to compare by. God's word reveals to us the standard of God's perfect holiness. And then when we read the Bible and we read about God's character and his perfection and his holiness, then we understand that I don't measure up. And it is through God's word that we understand that we're sinners, that we're lost, and that we need a Savior. It is through God's word that we understand we can't save ourselves. It's through God's word that we understand that we are hopelessly separated from God because of our sin, and there's no way to get ourselves back to God. We understand through God's word that God did that for us. And we understand through the word, it illuminates our heart to understand that I can't save myself, and that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. And through God's word, I understand that all the good religious works in the world can't restore me to a right relationship with God, that it takes the power of God to forgive my sin and to place on me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen. The Apostle Paul said this about the law and about the word of God in Romans 7 and verse 7. Listen to this. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? And he said, certainly not. On the contrary, listen to what Paul said here. I would not have known sin except through the law. Paul said, I wouldn't have known what sin is. I wouldn't have known right and wrong. I wouldn't have known that I'm wrong and God is right without the law, without God's word. And Paul goes on to say, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. In other words, Paul said, I wouldn't know that coveting is wrong unless God told me that it's wrong. Paul went on to say he wouldn't know any of those things, and neither would we. We wouldn't know our lostness except God said, You're lost, and here's why you're lost, because of your sin. And so the Bible reveals to us, if you will, it is a light, it's a lamp that reveals these truths to us. Now watch this. This is all connected, and I hope you get it here. The Word of God is a light. It reveals to me God. I couldn't discover God on my own, and neither can you. No human being in their intellect or their intelligence can understand who God is without him telling us who he is, because God's so much higher than we are. So the Word of God reveals to us who God is. Now, in revealing to us who God is, what's this? Because I see who God is through his Word, the light suddenly shines on me and I understand who I am. And when I see who God is and I understand who I am, there's a terrible dichotomy. There's a terrible distance between God's perfection and his holiness and his righteousness and my unrighteousness and my sinfulness and my weaknesses. And when I see my weaknesses, it convicts me. So see, understanding who God is through the revelation of his Word, then I understand who I am and my heart is convicted over it. My heart says to me, and your heart would say to you, whether you want to admit it or not, your heart would say to you, I'm lost. I know that I'm here in my sin and I need to be over there with God, because God created us to have fellowship with him. And so, knowing that I'm lost, that revelation helps me see that I need to be saved. And that conviction moves me to accept Jesus Christ by faith and ask him to forgive me and save me. I pray that you understand today that if you've never been saved, here's a holy God over here. And you're over here in your sin, as we all are. And that you cannot restore yourself to a righteous God. And that if you die in your sin, you have to pay for your sin. There's judgment for sin. The wages of sin is always death. But God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to restore us to a right relationship with him. So the Word of God is that light that shines into our lives, that shows us God, that shows us who we are and our need to be saved. And then thirdly, not only does the Word of God reveal or illuminate who God is for us so that we can understand who he is, it illuminates who we are so we understand who we are. But then the Bible is a light that reveals to us right and wrong. Now, in our world today, think about this. We live in a very secular, humanistic society. What that means is most people today, particularly lost people who don't understand God and don't understand his Word, they live in a world where their perception of right and wrong is subjective. And what that means is most of society believes that if a larger group of people believe a certain way, then that makes it right. Meaning if the majority of society says that lying is acceptable, then everybody accepts it. If the majority of society says that greed or covetousness is okay, then the majority of society says it's okay, everybody accepts it. We live in a society today that says if drinking and intoxication is okay, or drug use is okay, and mind-altering chemicals are okay, if the majority says it's okay, then everybody should do it and it's okay. Likewise, in areas of morality, we live in a society that says if it's okay, you know, if the majority of people think that it's acceptable for a man or a woman to cheat on their spouse and commit adultery and have open marriages or to live with a boyfriend and girlfriend in the act of fornication or even in the realm of homosexuality, if the majority of society says, look, people can do whatever they want to, then society as a whole will justify those actions and everybody will accept it as okay. But understand this kindly, and I say this with all love and compassion, God is the one who makes the rules. Let me say that again, okay? There is a living God who created us and created everything. Jehovah God is the one who makes the rules for life, not us. He's the creator. And God has defined, if you will, in his word, right and wrong. And when we read the Bible, here's what we discover. We discover in reading the Bible that truth, right and wrong, are not subjective, they are objective. Right and wrong is not up to how we feel, and it's not about what we think. It's not left up to our reasoning. God has clearly defined the parameters of human life. And as the Creator, God has clearly in His Word, it's a light to our path, right? A lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God has clearly laid out for us, watch, how we should walk. And if we want to know how we should walk, and walk is a euphemism that means how we live our lives, the choices we make every day, the decisions we make, what we do, what we choose not to do. God has laid that out for us. Now, none of us live perfectly up to God's standard because we're all flawed, we're all broken, we're all sinful. That's why we need Jesus to forgive us for our sin. But it is by the power of the Holy Spirit, once we're saved, through God's word applied to our hearts, that we become a new creation in Christ, and that new creation on the inside, that new man or woman on the inside that Jesus creates the moment we're saved, begins to be fleshed out in daily living and how we make choices, okay? What I'm saying is this: God has clearly through His Word illuminated what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Now, society today doesn't like that. Society today, secular humanism, completely rejects absolute truth. But when we reject absolute truth, then we open a door for everything and anything, which is why we have much chaos in society today. Let me illustrate through the codified commandments, I would call them codified, the Ten Commandments. Let's just consider them for a moment as we conclude our thoughts today. What did God say in the Ten Commandments? Most people can quote part of them or most of them or all of them. And we know the biggies in the moral realm. The Ten Commandments are broken into two parts. They're broken into our relationship with God, how we relate to God, the commandments, and then how we relate to one another. And in those Ten Commandments, God really encompassed all of the responsibility of man in society. Now, it gets much more detailed, but in general, they encompass them all. Let me talk about them very quickly. Number one, the first commandment was, God said that you have no other gods before me. Have no other God before me. But what does that have to do with? God's saying that we forsake all forms of idolatry. He means in that command, and it is a command, it's not a suggestion, and it's not a, if you want to do it, it is a command. God said to us that He's God, and we're not to treat anybody else like God or anything else like God. That He's God, He created us, and God said, have nobody else before Him. Now listen, to disobey God and to make myself God in my own life, to make myself the priority, or to put anything ahead of God is sin because God said don't do it. Now, society can, you may be watching this video, I don't know, and you might say in your own heart, I don't like that. Well, you're not God, and I'm not God. God is God, and He gets to make the rules. He said, don't have anybody else before Him. So we should prayerfully seek to adhere to what God told us to do. Number two, He said, don't have any graven images. In other words, don't make idols. Don't make things and set them up and worship them or say that represents God. God said, don't make anything that represents me. He said, don't have any idols. Don't do that. So today when we worship, we shouldn't worship with idols. We shouldn't set up images and worship them, stone, made out of stone or rock or wood. So God said, don't do that. Number three, God said, don't take my name in vain. If there's a command that is broken, an infraction made against God's commands in society today, this has to be one of the greatest. Everybody in every other breath uses God's name in slander, uses it in curse words. It even means not just in a curse way, but we're not to use God's name in a defamatory way, meaning using it in a light way. Why? Because God is holy. And man, a name reflects who He is. He is God. And there's nobody like Him. And He's holy and He's absolute. And we should use His name with reverence and with respect and not in some slang way. So you see, even in these first three that are dealing with our relationship to God, God has requirements for us. And the world today, for the most part, completely throws off the shackle of those requirements. They don't want to worship God. They don't want to do what God told them to do. And listen to me, kindly again, I say this with great compassion, with no place of superiority. Those who reject God and what He says to do are going to have to answer Him one day. And God will move from His expression of grace and mercy now to be saved to a day of judgment and righteous indignation against those who reject Him because He's God. So I would suggest today, if you've not been saved bow the knee before God today. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to save you, and God will be gracious to you. The fourth commandment about keep the Sabbath day holy was specific to the Jews. Doesn't really apply to the church today because the Jews were called to be a separate people in that day. And so they were called to keep the Sabbath day holy. And if you read the Old Testament law, it was important to God that they set that day aside to worship him. The only correlation I would say for the church today is we worship on the first day of the week. And it's completely appropriate. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We should come together and we should worship God corporately. And we should not forsake that. So God expects us to worship him. But now moving into number 5 through number 10, all have to do with interpersonal relationships with one another. First, he said, and the fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. Well, that's a commandment that's come in great neglect today. A lot of young people don't have respect for their parents and no respect taught in the home. God said for us to respect and honor our parents. Our parents are not perfect. I'm not perfect as a parent. However, they're our parents. And God said that we are to honor them and respect them throughout their whole lives, which means we need to take care of them. We need to look after them. Listen, I would say to you right now, if you have a broken relationship with your mom and dad, if you have a broken relationship and it's even on your part and they're still alive and you have the opportunity, you need to make the first step and go reconcile with them. I don't have to agree with what they do, but love them and honor them as your mom and dad. God expects us to do that. He commanded it. It's not a suggestion. He said, do it. Number 6, do not commit murder. Do not kill. The idea in that command is don't kill people for personal reasons. Don't kill someone out of personal animosity or out of vindictiveness or in response. We're not to take human life. God created life and it's precious. It belongs to him. And that does not preclude the government or recognized government, because God established human government. It does not preclude government to use capital punishment to protect human life. Listen, God commanded that governments protect human life. After the flood, he gave them the right. He said, he who takes a life, his life will be forfeited. God told Noah that. So listen, capital punishment was established by God. That's another topic. But the point is, this command to not murder one another, to not commit murder, is because life is precious. And God gave capital punishment to protect that very sanctity of life, to deter people from murdering one another, from being angry and committing murder. The Apostle John, listen, Jesus, and even the Apostle John took that a step further. He said, if we hate someone, we've already murdered them in our heart, which is a sin before God. 1 John 3:15 said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. So listen, the command is for us to not hate people, but Jesus said we are to love those around us, to have compassion for them and to minister them. Number 7, do not commit adultery. Well, now we get into some of the moral code. In our day-to-day, I know in my lifetime, I've never seen morality or lack of it so out of control. The lack of ethics and the lack of integrity. Men and women not honoring their marriage vows, sleeping around with one another, affairs. It's incredible that man has thrown off all moral boundaries. Today, fornication and men and women living with one another is looked on as normal. Hey, a couple, they like one another, so they sleep together, physical intimacy, they live together. Listen, I'm not your judge. And what you choose to do, that's between you and God. But understand this. God said, don't commit adultery. That's a command. God said, don't do it. The Bible also teaches, don't commit fornication. Don't sleep with people before you're married to them. Society today thinks that's ridiculous. And I know somebody watching this video is going to probably think, man, you're old and you're out of touch with reality. No, I'm old. I get that. But I'm not out of touch with reality. Matter of fact, I'm probably more in touch with reality than those who think they can do whatever they want to do. Because God said, don't do that. God said, don't break the marriage vow. Okay, listen. Take it up with God. He said, don't do it. It's a command. The word reveals, shines a light. David said, your word is a light. It's a lamp. It shows the path. God's saying, walk this path. Don't do that. Now, if we ignore what God says, then we do it at our own peril. Okay? God said, don't commit adultery. Then he went on to say, don't steal. Don't take what belongs to somebody else. Work for what you get. God said, don't steal. Don't be a thief. Don't steal. He said, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie about your neighbor. Don't Don't say something that hurts their character. Don't steal their character from them. Don't hurt them. Say things that help them and encourage them. And finally, don't covet. God said, don't walk around in life always wanting what you don't have. Be content with what you have. I would say the breaking of these commandments, listen to me very carefully. The breaking of these commandments in our society today, the breaking of God's laws, the ignoring of God's word, the mindset that we can just do whatever we want to is bringing great destruction on our society. Great harm on our society. God gave us these commands for our own good and to honor him and to bring joy and peace to our lives. I would suggest pay attention to what God has to say. The last thing I want to share with you, the last part of verse 105, Psalm 119, David said this, your words are a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let me give you some ways very quickly and we're going to close. How is it a light to my path? Let me tell you three or four or five things that God said here. Number one, the word of God can guide our thinking. It's a light to my path. It guides the way I think. It hones in my worldview so that I understand life correctly and I make the right choices. Okay, it directs my decisions. It helps me think, and then it helps me make good decisions because I make decisions. Listen, the word of God is a wonderful matrix for running decisions through, should I or should I not, prayer and asking God for guidance, thinking, decision-making. Thirdly, the word of God guards our choices, not just guides them, but guards them. You see, the more I know about God's word, the more I am equipped to make good choices in life. When that temptation comes, men, for you to look at a woman and lust and cheat on your wife, the word of God hedges me in, and the power of the Holy Spirit says, no, you know what God's word says. You honor your marriage. You honor your wife. You honor that wife, that mother of your children, and you honor her. You honor that wife of your youth, and you don't do those things. Okay, it guards our choices. Fourthly, it manages our speech. My goodness, if there's anything we need today, is we need the word of God to manage our speech. Our words need to be filtered through what we know about God's words. And then finally, the word of God is a lamp to my path because it restricts my passions. It brings into control the passions and emotions of life. More people get in trouble because of their emotions and get in trouble because of their passions and get in trouble because of what they allow themselves to get involved in. And the word of God, God is a light that guards against that. Let me close with this very quickly. The word of God, David said, is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. Boy, it could be that way for you. And it is that way if you're saved and you know it and you read it. But the way this word of God, the Bible, becomes that light and that path is you need to be saved. You need to come to the gospel first. Understand who God is and understand who you are. And in our lostness, we're separated from God. And you can be saved today. Listen, you don't have to do a thing other than believe. Are you sorry for your sin? Are you convicted that you're lost? And you know that you're wrong. And you know that you're doing things that God said not to do. And you know that your sin is separated from God. If you'll come to God and ask him to forgive you, he will. If you're willing to confess it, he'll forgive you. Pray, ask Jesus to forgive you. God said, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, anybody. There's no sin you've committed that God won't forgive. Would you come today? Let God's word be a light to your heart. Let it be a lamp to your feet. Let it guide you as you walk through this life. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it does teach us and guide us and lead us. I pray for that one who might watch this video today, this man or woman, young person, boy or girl, that needs Jesus Christ, that right now they would pause in this moment and say, God, I'm a sinner and I know it. I'm separated from you, and God, I'm sorry. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sin. And by all the faith I have, I ask you to forgive me and save me right now. Thank you, Lord, for your gift and your grace of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you for watching our broadcast today. If you need more information, have a prayer request, or you made a spiritual decision today that you'd like to share with us, please visit us online at oakleafbaptist.org. Go to the bottom of the page and fill out the Contact Us information. This will help us better know how to minister to you. We look forward to you joining us next time that we study God's Word. Until then, let's lead people to God.